Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Michigan Mobile Musings, a weekly broadcast from the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan, hosted by Melissa Burney. We face an immense, worthy challenge. The world has huge problems, many of which technology is perfectly suited to address. Companies around the globe are answering this call, but anyone with boots on the ground can feel the acute shortage of talent needed to rise to the occasion. That gap is widening, and over the next decade, the shortfall will impact industries, economies, businesses, and individuals as they fight to add value in a digital world. The Iron Yard, launched in 2012, became the largest co-op school in the country in 2014, operating in 22 locations, including a first international location in London, to help solve and create real lasting change for people, companies, communities through technology education. They believe that passionate, talented people who love what they do can create and sustain great families, jobs, companies, and solutions to the world's problems. Joining me today is Tom Crawford, mobile engineering instructor for the Iron Yard, to discuss the educational resources available for people pursuing the craft and lifelong adventure of technology and equip them with the skills they need to get both started and progress throughout their careers, and also to talk about the upcoming Demo Day event being held on June 30th at Bamboo Detroit. What is Demo Day, when is it, and who should be there? We're going to share that information with you. Tom, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
You're very welcome. I'd like to first start with helping our audience learn about the Iron Yard. It's an unusual name that doesn't really talk about what the company does. So can you tell us a bit about it?
Sure. Well, the Iron Yard is fundamentally an immersive code school. So what that means is we teach people how to code. We have 22 campuses across the U.S., and all of them offer full-time immersive programs where students come in and they can learn back-end engineering, front-end engineering, mobile engineering, of course, which is what we're talking about here today, and also design. They're 12-week courses, and the idea with each of them is that the students come out as junior developers, ready to step into jobs at companies where they can have mentors and learn and continue to grow their career in technology to help fill that talent gap that you mentioned.
Fantastic. So you're located over in Detroit, and I understand that's new. When did you open that location?
We are located in Detroit, right downtown, right off Campus Martius. And we've been here since February, so we're brand new. Although the company has been around, as you said, for several years now, the campus is just starting up. We're wrapping up our first cohort of mobile students with their graduating next week. And we also have a .NET class going on right now as well.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Did you know where the idea originated?
Sure. It really started back a few years ago when the Iron Yard started actually an accelerator. And there was a need for, in South Carolina at this time, for growing new companies, starting up new companies, and using the accelerator model to do that. And that was relatively successful. They were able to bring businesses in and get them funded. But what they found the next gap was a talent gap. So to fill that, it was very hard to hire people there, just like it is here with the gap that we have in Detroit. And they decided to start a code school to be able to create the talent for the accelerator. So that is how the beginning happened in South Carolina and has now spread across the country.
It's absolutely amazing how people see a need and then are able to step in and start filling that need to help us progress.
It is a huge need, as you pointed out. The talent gap in Detroit is quite large, where we have thousands of jobs open at any given time and not the thousands of people to fill it.
Absolutely. And it's something that if we want to establish Michigan specifically, or more importantly, maybe the Detroit area, as the leader in autonomous or connected vehicles and some of the other businesses that we have going on here, we really need to develop that talent, and you're offering a solution to do just that.
I couldn't agree more. Actually, one of the things I think that set Detroit apart from all of the other cities in the country in large part is it's a city of makers and always has been. People come here and like to build things and do things, and it's true across all of Michigan. And code is just like that. People like to build. There's a satisfying piece of building code where when you're done, you've built something that's useful to people, and that's a long-storied tradition in Detroit that I think the technology community, whether it be embedded systems or mobile devices or mobility in general, has a strong ability to contribute to that continued history.
I agree. City of Makers, I like that, and I'm going to remember that and use it because it's true. I mean, with, you know, developing the car and some of the other, you know, great products that have been developed here in Detroit or in Michigan in general, what are some of the other branches that are doing really well?
As far as other campuses? Yeah, so we have campuses across the country. We started in Greenville, as I said, but Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Austin, Indianapolis, a little more close to home, Minnesota up in Minneapolis. So we're spread out across the country and growing relatively quickly. One of the benefits of that, too, for our students, actually, is that we now have a strong alumni network across the country. So as students are leaving their first jobs and second jobs coming out of the Iron Yard now, for the ones who've been going for a few years, that gives us a deep talent pool to reach into and to be able to say, hey, you know, come to Detroit. We've got some great things going on, some amazing companies. Bring your tech skills here. And that gives us that extra reach, which is pretty valuable.
So do you find, you know, you mentioned that people, you know, leave their careers, they start their second, their third career, things like that. So is this something that maybe for some of those people who have been maybe that long-term unemployed or those people who are looking to transition into a new career, this is something that they could feasibly do that? They could come to one of your cohorts, I can't talk this morning, sorry, and get started in a new career, right?
That is really a typical student. I can say for my past three cohorts that I've had here, that the typical student comes through as somebody who's had a job already. They're relatively unsatisfied in that it didn't meet what they expected, or they're searching for something more and now want to come back and add a new skill that then allows them to change career paths and get a new job potentially. So that is a very typical student. There are also those who are unemployed who are looking for places. I've actually had a couple retirees who want to add a skill just for retirement, you know, as a hobby to keep themselves busy. But by and large, the typical student is potentially mid-20s to mid-30s, although that range goes from 18. I've had an 18-year-old in class up to, you know, mid-60s. But are people who are looking for that career transition. We say life is too short for the wrong career. So coding for many people can be a very satisfying way to build and make and find something that people can use.
I absolutely love it. How many and what type of courses are currently being offered here in Detroit?
So in Detroit, we have two classes going on right now, the iOS class and the .NET class. The next classes for those both start in the fall. So I believe August 8th is the next iOS class, and sometime in September is the .NET class. I don't have that in front of me, but September 26th, I think, or something like that. So we have both of those.
What's the difference between the two?
Oh, sure. The mobile class, iOS class, focuses on developing iOS apps, both for iPhone and iPad predominantly, but we also take a look at Apple Watch and Apple TV and various other platforms, as Swift being one of the languages we teach. We teach Objective-C as well. But as we look at those, we're able to expand out into other platforms as Swift is going open source and reaching out in other places. Our .NET class is predominantly a back-end class, so learning how to use many of the Microsoft tools to be able to create enterprise-level systems for companies. So a little bit different focus in the two of them, where the iOS class tends to be user focused as far as like consumer level, although it can also be for, you know, employees inside companies, as well as the .NET side tends to be for internal company systems, enterprise systems.
Okay. And right now you're currently not doing anything with Android?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
Certainly, Android is one of the ones we would love to do. Beyond that, we're also looking at next year beginning to offer design classes, front-end classes, so HTML, JavaScript, and all the various JavaScript variations in there for people who are doing front-end stuff. But those will happen in the winter or spring rather than this fall.
Excellent. Well, you did say that you were relatively new, so we are going to stay tuned for more information.
It's going to be an exciting next year, for sure.
Wonderful. What made the Iron Yard decide to open a location here in Metro Detroit?
Well, Detroit is one of the most exciting places going on in the country, I think. I'm from here. In fact, our entire staff is from here. Born and raised, and we're all passionate about the growth of southeastern Michigan and Michigan as a whole, particularly the tech scene. We've all been involved in it. So when the Iron Yard decided to open a campus here, we're all pretty excited because it gives us an opportunity to be home and do things that are, we hope, impacting the community in a really powerful way. So it's really interesting when you look at Detroit and Metro Detroit overall. And at any given time, Burning Glass lists like 2,000 developer jobs coming online every 90 days. That's a lot of jobs to fill. And while, you know, we're certainly trying to help fill that gap, there is a large talent gap that is still in the market. So the more we can do to help reach that and grow Detroit's technology capabilities, the more the city grows overall. So it's exciting to be here. It's exciting for us to be able to be home and really have an impact. So that's one of the main reasons we're here.
Wonderful. So you mentioned some of the new staff. Who are the instructors? Mm-hmm. Are they certified teachers or people maybe working in the field? And how can people evaluate the quality of the instructors?
Sure. So, well, I'm one of the instructors, of course, so that's me, and I might be somewhere biased in the discussion given that I am an instructor. But all of us, even our campus director, we all have code experience. We're all people who've been in the world coding. I've been coding now for next year will be my 30th year. So everything from, you know, BASIC and COBOL and Fortran and even punch cards at a time. All the way to, you know, I've been doing mobile since 2000 before mobile was called mobile when we had Windows CE and, you know, Palm Pilots and things like that. So we all have a rich depth of experience, and you can see that across all the instructors, across all the campuses. They come in with a deep set of experience, generally years and I guess in my case decades of coding experience. But beyond that, we also look for people who have a passion for teaching. So people who may not, I mean, there's not a certification to go out there and be a code school teacher. That doesn't exist. But these are people in general who have been out in the community, been involved in their communities, going to meetups, teaching at conferences, and who have a reputation for being good at mentoring students. That's a really important part of what we look for. Evaluating, however, is a really hard thing to do. So one of the things we do at the Iron Yard is we interview all the students, and those students, in my opinion, should be just as much interviewing the instructor as they are the students. So we want to make sure they're, you know, we get good students in who will be able to complete the courses and be able to be successful in their job searches. But just as importantly, they want to look at us and say, hey, is this instructor I can work with? I also believe pretty strongly that there's an important match between the student and the instructor in such a way that they need to be able to work together. They need to feel good so that when they're in the classroom, and coding is hard and learning is hard. So when you get to those struggles, are these people that you want to work with to help get you through those and help you learn? So I think that's really important. Beyond that, I also think potential students should come take crash courses. So we offer them for free. Lots of the code schools have crash courses, but go sit in with your instructor, spend an hour or three with them taking a class and see what you think. Like, is this instructor good? Did you like where they go? Going in blind and just jumping into a class is probably not the best way to evaluate an instructor. The best way is to sit in their class and see what's going on. So that's my strong recommendation. I mean, I even prefer it for the students. I want to see how they are in the classroom. So I strongly recommend people come and get to know their instructors personally and see how they will fit in the classroom.
I think that's sound advice. I mean, you don't know, like you said, if you're going to click with somebody or if, you know, maybe they're teaching in a manner that you don't learn well that way. So, yeah, I think that that's really sound advice. And so you mentioned a couple
truly,
of other things. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, truly, even if there were a certification in the field, which I guess could be nice in some ways, but even if there were, we all know that certifications don't necessarily mean that the person's good at what they do. So really the only way to evaluate that is to go in personally and see if it works for you, because all of us are different and we have different preferences and what we like. So it's best to get to know your instructors and see them in the real world so you can evaluate personally.
Absolutely. I think that I think that you said it really, really well, and you gave some excellent examples as well. A couple of things that you said, so you mentioned your decades in the industry. You mentioned punch cards, and then you also mentioned Palm Pilots. I have to confess, I have two Palm Pilots sitting in my basement right now because I can't get rid of them. I mean, they were wonderful devices back in the day, so...
They were wonderful devices, and it's kind of depressing to go out to the Computer History Museum out in California and see half of the devices I've worked on. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I had shared with you, you know, my wireless background. I still have a bag phone in my basement. I still have one of the old, you know, the flip phones. I have my initial Kyocera smartphone when they came out.
Very
with the
nice.
Touch, and you take it with Franklin Covey software. And, oh, yeah, I'm right there with you. So what's the process for signing up to take a class at the Iron Yard? And actually, one other question that I have and I forgot to ask is this basically a hands-on in the classroom setting? Is there any kind of web instruction at all? So like, say, for example, I live in Grand Rapids. I wanted to take a class, but I can be in Detroit every day. So is there an online option?
Right now, it's all in person. The market has a ton of, and people on this call have probably tried some of the online classes, and some of them are quite good. Others have some room for improvement. But what we found is the students who come here are the ones who prefer to learn in person with direct coaching. We keep our class sizes pretty small. In general, there are 12 to 16 people. So and with one instructor, and as it gets larger, we'll even add a second instructor in the larger class sizes to keep those numbers down, even, you know, 9 or 10 or 11 per instructor, so that you get that personal touch. So I literally sit with every one of my students every single day, sometimes for just a few minutes if they're struggling, sometimes for much longer if they're struggling on a topic and need to help to get over that hump. But that personal instruction, I think, is what makes the classroom experience different. Now, for some people, that is not the right environment, but for a lot of people, it is. They prefer to have somebody who can focus their learning on the parts that they are struggling with, because everybody struggles in different parts. And, you know, some people will get one piece and not another, and then the opposite person will be exactly the opposite way. So it's having that hands-on touch is important. To your other question of how to get started, and certainly you can just go to theironyard.com, particularly academy.theironyard.com/get-started, and you can start filling out the forms, and that'll start the process going. The process overall is you apply online. A campus director, in this case the Detroit campus director, which is Jordan, will get notified about that and will begin talking to the student, answering any questions, kind of focusing that as the process moves along. And the student's ready, they get placed with the instructor, and we talk to them, preferably in person, but there are occasionally students that come from remote. One of my current students moved from Atlanta, moved back to Detroit, which is very exciting. So in that case, we interview on the phone or video chat, and then still, like I said, encourage them to come in and take a crash course, see what it's like to be in the classroom, and from there, you come and take the class.
Nice. You mentioned the application process. Are you looking for students with pre-existing skills or training, or if somebody who has absolutely no understanding of technology, can they come in as well?
Certainly there's a broad range of students. I've had students who are, and this is the exception more than the rule, who are computer science students who come out of a typical computer science program and come and want to add a new skill, want to learn how to do mobile apps because they learn, C++ in school or Java. But that is not the typical student that we get coming through. The typical student is one who is, maybe familiar with technology, probably in my class's case, has a smartphone, has used a smartphone of some sort. So they're at least familiar with the technology, has used a computer, has used a mouse, knows how to type, things like that. So they're generally not the people who have zero technology experience, never had a phone, never had a computer. Most of them have had some, but by and large, none of the students that I have or that come through any of the classes really have any coding experience. So they're walking in not having known what a for loop is or conditionals, and if the listeners on the call don't know what those are, that's okay. That's part of class, and we teach that throughout the thing. So there's no coding experience required. In general, that's the normal for our classes, but occasionally we'll get a computer science student who comes through, but that is not the typical.
Okay. And because they're such small classes, you mentioned 12 to 16 or so, they really kind of become their own best friends and great resources later as well, correct?
Yeah, that's really true. In fact, I was having that conversation this morning where the student said, I can't wait to be a year from now and see where all of us are. Because they become, they spend all day every day for 40 hours, 50 hours a week, sometimes more, working together. And that's with an intense program, that's quite a bond you develop. And having been through this many times now, the students that go through each cohort actually are very close and still hang out and still chat, and it's fascinating to watch. I think that actually will have, if we look 5, 10, 15 years down the road, that will even have a longer-term effect where, people don't stay at jobs forever these days, 5 years, 10 years maybe. And as you move around, who are the first people you're going to go to? The people who you know have experience. So I think as we look at the long-term effects of programs like these, you're going to see a very interesting network effect that will make the community even stronger.
I would certainly concur with that. So we've talked a little bit, so you've mentioned 12 weeks, I think, was one of your earlier statements. The program, if it's 12 weeks, how many classes are approximately in that period of time, and how long do they last?
So the classes over that 12 weeks are 40 hours. So we start at 9 o'clock in the morning. We lecture. Lecture is not really the best word because it's not really me or the other instructor standing up and, just pointing at PowerPoints all day long. We actually code and we build stuff all morning. So if we're talking about going out to a web server's API and downloading data that day, it'll be, what are the issues with networks? How do networks work? How do you go get data? How do you deal with the data when you bring it back? So we talk about that in class, explain it, work through several examples, try to drill that in. And then the homework for the afternoon and during the lab time, so if that's 9 to noon, then the afternoon time is their homework time. So from 1 to 5, they go and do their homework. And often, projects are larger than you can fit in the 4 hours, so they'll do homework at home in the evening. But the instructors are right there with them through the lab time to be able to help them get over hurdles as they're learning. So the idea with I have a pretty strong opinion on learning, and the struggle is really important for learning. and you want them to get to the point of struggling and overcoming. But if they're getting to the point where they can't get over that hill, just giving them the nudge that allows them to tweak what they know enough to get them over the hill and then continue the learning, that's what the lab time is really about, is to allow them to experience that, just like we do in games. Games have a process of being easy, gradually getting harder till you hit the boss level, and you need to beat the boss, and you continue to try and try, and then when you do that success, you've learned something. And that's largely how the classes are structured too, to allow them to gain more and more skills to the point that they succeed and master that topic so that they can then move on to the next topic.
Sure, makes total sense. I mean, I remember, you know, sometimes you'd be in class, you'd listen to the lecture, they'd assign the homework, you'd leave and go home, and you're like, oh gosh, what did he say? Or, hey, I have this question. Well, you're kind of stuck. So if you do the lecture, you give the information first, then you're all together as a group. You can start working on a project so you're actually in the flow, and I can see where that's definitely beneficial.
Yeah, it really is beneficial. And besides having the instructor there, who is one voice, sometimes other students, in fact, often, other students can also help explain in a different voice in the way they understand it, so that you then end up with multiple ways of explaining a topic. Not only the student who explains it learns it better, because to teach you actually have to learn to a level that you didn't think you knew already. And then beyond that, the student who is learning in that case also gets to hear a different voice, which makes it having alternative ways to hear things can make it stick better. So it's a powerful environment to have students collaborating in small groups with an instructor there to help guide.
Absolutely, totally understand. So one of the things that we're here to talk about today is your Demo Day event. What is Demo Day? When is it? And who should be there?
Oh, sure. So Demo Day is an exciting day. This is my fourth Demo Day with the Iron Yard, which is kind of fun. It's where the students get to show off a little bit. So they've been working hard for weeks and weeks on their learning overall, and the final project that they do is of one of their choice, but allows them to demonstrate their skills. So Demo Day will be next Thursday, which is June 30th at 3:30 at Bamboo in Detroit. But that's where the students will get up and they'll each demo their projects. They'll each have about 5 minutes to demo, show a little bit off of what they do. And then we'll go into kind of a science fair approach where people will be able to go up to them and talk about them, maybe even look at their code if they're a programmer and want to dig in and see what they did. But the idea there is to open it up to the community. In fact, all three of the projects that the students are working on right now for their final projects are actually community-related projects. In one way or another. One is a pothole detector, which is pretty cool. It's an exciting one. Another is a, you live in Michigan, you know about those. So another one is a walking tour app that helps people create and share walking tours. And another one is for service industry professionals who need to go around and mark off tasks that they need to do that are in specific locations at specific times, and helps make that process easy and efficient. So all of them are community focused, which is pretty amazing. So that is a week from yesterday, actually, on June 30th, and it's a pretty exciting day. As far as who should come, it's really anybody interested in mobile, anybody interested in technology, anybody interested in learning mobile or coding skills. It would be great to come by and see what other students are doing, talk to them in the real world, see what their experiences were like. But of course, the students are all looking for jobs too. So anybody who's looking for iOS developers at the junior level should definitely come and take a look at the students.
Okay, so local employers can come. And will they have an opportunity to be able to talk to students as well?
They will, yes. They'll have ample time. Over an hour, a little bit more, plus, you know, additional time if as needed to talk directly to students.
Excellent. And how can someone register to attend the event?
Sure. Well, the event's everywhere, so you can find it actually even on the MTAM site. So Mobile Technology Association of Michigan has information on it, as well as the Iron Yard Detroit Facebook page, the Iron Yard Detroit LinkedIn page, of course, the website and meetup.com. So anywhere you are on social media, you can certainly find information about how to sign up. But the main place is on Eventbrite. So if you go to any of those sites, they'll point you to the Eventbrite link to register and sign up for the event. And it's free, by the way.
Wonderful. Oh, that's always helpful. Are there other ways that employers can become involved with the Iron Yard and its students?
Sure, there's lots of ways. So first of all, one of the things I haven't mentioned so far that's, I think, really important to the way we structure things is we have an advisory board, a corporate advisory board. So we have companies who come in and talk with us all the time, sometimes monthly, but certainly on an official quarterly basis, where they help us review the curriculum so that we are matching the curriculum to the local community needs. So, for example, for better or worse, Metro Detroit and Michigan are not the largest game development communities. So one of the feedback we get for the iOS program is, well, it's fun to learn some of the game kit stuff and things you can do with iOS. That's not necessarily the best way to prepare a student for a job in the area. So we don't cover that, where we would maybe cover other things like embedded systems a bit more, because that's something that's very useful, especially in mobility. So we get that feedback directly from companies, and if companies want to be on the advisory board, they can certainly contact myself or Jordan, both at theironyard.com. And beyond that, we also bring in companies for guest lectures. That's some of the best parts. So it's not just my voice with the students, but students can actually hear from industry professionals. We had one last week that was awesome. Being able to say, hey, here's what it's like in the real world. Here's the skills you need. Here's some code. And they actually teach code, which is a lot of fun. And we even go out and tour companies so they can see what it's like in different development shops, working at GM or OnStar or working at Ambassador or one of the other companies, just to see what it's like in different environments around, so they can see where their best fit is. So there's lots of ways that companies can be involved, and we'd love to talk to them and see how we can help them meet their talent gap.
Nice. And I love that you're actually talking to employers, understanding what do we need here in Michigan, including some of the components for those people that maybe want to go outside of Michigan, but helping us retain their talent here and filling those gaps where we need. So, and I like that you're doing it, often quarterly, I think you had said. That's absolutely fantastic.
Technology changes a lot, right? It changes continuously. So if we were just to do it annually or less, the world changes. Apple just made some huge announcements last week that are changing developers' lives. If we weren't paying attention to that and figuring out what companies are actually implementing, what they're not implementing, because not every technology that Apple implements makes it out into prime time as far as the development community goes, we would be missing the market. And in the end, while it's fun to play with all the new toys, we have, and I do love my toys, but we still, our goal is to help students become solid junior developers and to, in the end, get jobs. And so the ability and desire to match the classroom up with the actual real world is very strong.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you'd like our audience to know about the Iron Yard or upcoming demo day?
I would just encourage everybody to come by, whether it be, take a tour, certainly, if demo day doesn't fit into your calendar, or definitely come to demo day. We'd love to have you there, see what the students are doing, talk to us for a little bit. It'll be a fun time. Demo day is always one of my favorite days of the year, so should be a really good day.
Nice. And would you like to share your website one more time?
Sure. The website is www.theironyard.com, ironyard.com.
Fantastic. Tom, thank you so much for coming on the show today and talking about the Iron Yard, what it is and who you're trying to reach, and then also sharing Demo Day with us. If I can, I'll certainly try to get over there. But it's been absolutely a pleasure to speak with you today, and I look forward to hearing about your future success.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
You're welcome. MTAM provides excellent resources for businesses and individuals in the mobile wireless space. For more information about the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan or upcoming events, please visit our website at gomobilemichigan.org or follow us on Facebook or Twitter at GoMobileMI. Have a question or want to know how you can get involved? Email us at info@gomobilemichigan.org. Thanks for listening and make it a fantastic week.